Podcast 10.
Section A, Mini Lecture. In this section, you will hear a mini lecture. You will hear the lecture once only. While listening, take notes on the important points. Your notes will not be marked, but you will need them to complete a gap-filling task after the mini lecture. When the lecture is over, you'll be given 2 minutes to check your notes and another 10 minutes to complete the gap-filling task. Now listen to the mini-lecture.
Introductory Lecture to University Study. Good morning, and welcome to the University of Westlands. My name is Marcia Mayhew, and I'm the coordinator of the Bachelor of Social Science degree here at this university. This morning, I'd like to tell you something about the structure of the university and about some of the requirements of the degree that you're about to enter. The Bachelor of Social Science is in one faculty within the university. That is the faculty where I am working, known as Arts and Social Sciences. Here on this campus, we also have the faculties of Architecture, Law, and Science and Technology, among others. First, let's take a brief look at the structure of the faculty. It's important to know something about the structure of the faculty because, as you go through your course, you may need to call on members of the staff to help you. Our university works as a hierarchical system. At the top of the faculty, we have a dean, and below the dean, we have 3 divisions. Each division has a divisional head, and your degree is located in the Division of Social Sciences. Within each of the divisions, there are the departments, and each of these offers different degrees. For instance, 2 of the departments which offer the major subjects for your award are the Department of Sociology and the Department of Psychology. Each has a departmental head, but for practical purposes, the people you are going to see the most of is myself, because I work as coordinator of the social sciences degree and serve as a bridge between you and the departments. The other group of people whom you will also see very frequently are the actual lecturers who are teaching the subjects that you are taking. For instance, in the first semester, you'll be doing 4 subjects, namely psychology, sociology, history, and economics. So you will be meeting lecturers of these subjects very often. Most likely, you may see them once a week, but for some of them, it is possible for you to meet them twice a week. If you have any problems or difficulties, not that I'm anticipating you will, but you never know, then you should go and see your lecturers. For instance, you may find that you can't meet a deadline for an essay, or perhaps you're having problems with attendance. These seem to be the 2 most common problems that students face on this campus. In most cases, your lecturers will help you to solve your problems. If your lecturers are unavailable, you can always come and see me in my office. I'm available on Wednesday and Thursday mornings and on Friday afternoons as well. Outside these hours, perhaps you could ring the secretary and make an appointment. Usually, I will find the earliest possible time to see you and discuss your problems. Now, you'll note that all of the subjects which you undertake in the first year are composed of lectures and tutorials. A lecture is about 1 hour long, and a tutorial usually runs for about 2 hours. A lecture is rather like what I am doing now, where one person will talk to all of you together on a subject. We do ask you to try to attend the lectures. A tutorial is perhaps where most of the learning occurs at a university. You will be divided into groups of between 12 and 15 students, and each week one of you will have to present a piece of work to the group as a whole, and then the group will discuss what you've said. It's this discussion, this exchange of ideas, which really constitutes the basis of university learning, in my view. Listening to lectures in many ways is just giving you information that you could access for yourself in the library, but the discussion at the tutorial is very important. This doesn't mean that you shouldn't go to the lectures, though. Other factors to be particularly concerned about are the structure of essays and delivery of written material, and in particular, I would like to mention the question of plagiarism. Plagiarism is taking other people's work without acknowledging it. That is, without saying where it comes from. Of course, all essays are based on research done by other people, but you must remember to attribute the work to the original writer. And while it's a good idea to work with other people, Don't hint in work, which is exactly the same as your friend's work, because we will notice. If you don't acknowledge the source of your information, then you run the risk of failing the subject, or, in very serious cases, you might be denied entry to the university. Last but not least, stay in touch with us. If things are getting you down, don't go and hide. Come and talk to us about it. That's what we are here for. Right. Thank you very much for coming along today, and hope you'll enjoy your stay on this campus.
Section B, Interview. In this section, you will hear everything once only. Listen carefully and then answer the questions that follow. Questions 1 to 5 are based on an interview. At the end of the interview, you will be given 10 seconds to answer each of the following 5 questions. Now, listen to the interview.
How is your market research project going, Frank?
Very well, actually, Teresa. I have just got the results of the survey back, and so now I have got to draw some conclusions from the information I've collected.
That's good. I'm still writing my questionnaire. In fact, I'm starting to panic as the project deadline is in 2 weeks, and I don't seem to be making any progress at all.
What is your topic?
Forms of transportation in the city. What about you?
I've been finding out people's attitudes to the amount of violence on television.
That's interesting. What do your results show?
Well, as I said, I haven't finished writing my conclusions yet, but it seems most people think there is a problem. Unfortunately, there is no real agreement on the action that needs to be taken. Nearly everyone surveyed said that there was too much violence on TV. A lot of people complained that American police series and Chinese kung fu films were particularly violent. The main objection seems to be that although a lot of people get shot, stabbed, decapitated, and so on, the films never show the consequences. People watching might take the heroes of these programs as real models and copy their behavior.
So what did most people suggest should be done?
A lot of people are concerned about how these films affect children. They are particularly worried that children will try to behave like the stars. The survey shows that violent programs should only be broadcast after 10 o'clock p.m., when most children are already in bed. There is also a significant minority of people who feel that violent films should be banned altogether.
How did people feel about the violence on news broadcasts?
Most of the responses I have looked at have felt that violence on news broadcasts is more acceptable as it's real. Although it is unpleasant, it is important to keep in touch with reality. Still, many people thought it would be better to restrict violent scenes to late evenings.
Your survey sounds very good. How many people filled it in?
I gave out 120 copies and I got 70 back.
That's a very high rate of return. Who did you give your questionnaires to?
I gave a copy to every student in my hall of residence and a few to friends from other colleges.
Don't you think that this will influence your results?
What do you mean?
The people in your hall of residence will all be about the same age. They're all students, most of them studying similar subjects and from similar backgrounds. Therefore, it is likely that they will have similar opinions. Your results represent student opinion, not public opinion.
So, how are you going to do your research?
I'm going to interview my respondents in the shopping mall. What I'll do is ask people if they have 5 minutes to spare to answer a few questions. If they agree, I will ask them some multiple choice questions and tick off their answers on my sheet. That way, I can select people of all ages and attitudes, so my sample should be reasonably representative.
Isn't it very difficult to ask meaningful questions using multiple choice?
Yes, it is. I suppose your survey has the advantage of more detailed information. However, in most cases, people won't bother to give answers that require too much effort on their part. The secret to writing a successful survey is to write simple multiple-choice questions that target the information you are looking for. Therefore, it is better to write a lot of short, specific questions than longer, general questions.
So that's why it is taking you so long to write.
Yeah, but I hope I'll be ready to start interviewing on the weekend.
Section C, News Broadcast. In this section, you will hear everything once only. Listen carefully and then answer the questions that follow.
Question 6 is based on the following news. At the end of the news item, you will be given 10 seconds to answer the question. Now listen to the news.
Nearly 75% of U.S. doctors believe miracles can occur, a new survey says. The survey also found that 72% of the 1,100 doctors polled believe that religion provides a reliable and necessary guide to life. Non-Orthodox Jewish doctors are less likely to believe that miracle stories in the Bible are literally true, while more than 53% of Orthodox Jewish doctors and 60% of Protestant doctors surveyed believe them. The survey of doctors from across the religious spectrum, including Muslim, Hindu, and Buddhist doctors, was conducted by HCD Research and the Lewis Finkelstein Institute for Religious and Social Studies of the Jewish Theological Seminary.
Question 7 is based on the following news. At the end of the news item, you will be given 10 seconds to answer the question. Now, listen to the news.
In Finland, peace talks between the Indonesian government and Aceh rebels have ended in the capital, Helsinki. They have agreed to meet for a third round of negotiations from April 12 to 17. Former Finnish President Martti Ahtisaari, who presided over the 3 days of discussions, said the use of UN peacekeepers had been ruled out, though regional forces could be used. He added there would be no plebiscite on any peace agreement. Adasari called on both sides to refrain from fighting. He cautioned that there was an enormous amount of work to be done before a complete agreement can be reached. On Tuesday, GAM members dropped their demand for total independence for the separatist province, a move that brought cautious optimism.
Question 8 is based on the following news. At the end of the news item, you will be given 10 seconds to answer the question. Now listen to the news.
Italy will start to pull its troops out of Iraq as planned in September and will not hasten the withdrawal because of fresh terror threats. Italian Premier Silvio Berlusconi says Italy plans to begin withdrawing some of its troops from Iraq in September. Berlusconi, who was a strong supporter of President Bush in Iraq, sent 3,000 troops to the country. Berlusconi said at the G8 summit in Glen Eagles that Italy will begin withdrawing 300 men in the month of September. But he noted that he would not speed up the withdrawal because of fresh terrorist attacks after London bombs on Thursday. Berlusconi added, because of its troop deployment in Iraq, Italy was a prime target for Islamist extremists.
Questions 9 and 10 are based on the following news. At the end of the news item, you will be given 10 seconds to answer each question. Now listen to the news.
As the Chinese telecom market steps up the pace of opening to the outside world, China's four major operators of basic telecom service have introduced a cumulative foreign funds amounting to $25.25 billion. The four telecom operators, namely China Telecom, China Netcom, China Mobile, and China Unicom, have all been listed overseas, indicating a substantial opening in the capital market. When the Chinese telecom market accelerates opening to foreign investment, going abroad is a key way for Chinese enterprise to be integrated with the world economy, said an official in charge of the Telecom Administration Department of the Ministry of Information Industry on a senior forum on development of China's telecom industry held in Beijing on July 7. In addition to providing users roaming service, transnational operation, and international business, these basic telecom service operators are exploring new areas in cooperation with neighboring countries in telecom operation or setting up branches overseas and teaming up with telecom equipment suppliers in expanding overseas markets. Statistics show that by the end of May, China had registered a total of 692 million phone users, including 330 million fixed phone users and 358 million mobile phone users.